You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Auckland has been in lockdown for over a month now, for over 7 weeks, and uni students are definitely finding it harder to stay motivated. Staying in your own bubble, attending classes virtually, and not seeing your peers on the day-to-day can definitely affect anyone's well-being. So today I spoke with Associate Professor at the University of Auckland in the Faculty of Education and Social Work in the School of Learning and Development and Professional Practice, Jason Stevens, to speak about motivation and strategies for uni students to maintain motivation in situations like lockdown. Your primary line of research focuses on academic motivation and moral development during adolescence. Could you tell me a bit more about this line of research and specifically what academic motivation is?
I'm kind of interested in the intersection, of motivation, morality, and misconduct. So my interest stemmed from my work really as a doctoral student 2 decades ago, where I, in the course of doing a research project for one of my professors, I found that many students who cheat think that cheating is morally wrong. So then that sort of begs the question as to, if moral judgment is insufficient, what else is at play, in people's behavioral choices? And, of course, if you're looking at a problem like academic misconduct, then that's where academic motivation comes in. And motivation itself, what does that mean? What is academic motivation? Well, I think if we go back to the roots of motivation, right, it's about what really drives and directs our behavior, right? Movere is the Latin, right, meaning to move. And so really the etymological roots, I suppose, of motivation, right, is about movement, which is kind of interesting. So I know we're going to get into motivation under lockdown. Lockdown is kind of the opposite, right, and why people might have motivational struggles, during a lockdown is because by definition, right, lockdown is confining us spatially, right? We're not allowed to move. And motivation is all about movement, right? It's about, driving and directing our behavior.
So what are, like you say, movement, what other major factors, are there with motivation or to do with motivation?
There's a lot of things. So if somebody is struggling with motivation, right, there really isn't, one silver bullet there, right? We could take it at kind of multiple levels. I think, especially under a lockdown situation, where I say you're really spatially confined, then I think that you can sort of lose your sort of sense of purpose, right? And so I think that's one sort of level that, that creates sort of a motivational problem. This is that people really kind of forget kind of, why am I studying anyway? Why did I choose to go to uni? So I think, that can be a broader sort of macro motivational problem, right, is that I've almost kind of forgotten my purpose. And, there I would think that it's important to kind of remind yourself of why am I here? Why am I pursuing this? And that can be, I think, hopefully invigorating, right, and get you moving again. But also along with that, is really having a sense of agency, and I think that also gets sort of compromised in a lockdown situation where we're told we can't go certain places or in our only, go out of the house at certain times or for certain purposes, that kind of infringes a bit, right, on our autonomy, necessarily so, of course, during a pandemic. But nonetheless, again, I think that it has broader implications for our well-being and functioning, beyond. So I think reminding ourselves again that of our purposes of why we've chose to pursue a university degree and that it's our choice, that this is something that we want to do, right? And I think that can or should be empowering. I could also speak, more sort of more micro things. Like some people, it's not really, their motivational problem doesn't stem from these, broader sense of choice and purpose, but rather just the management, more micro issues of practice, of, maybe being overwhelmed in the moment by a paper that you've got due, in the next month because of, we're approaching final assessments now, right? Or a big exam that you're nervous about and not sure how to prepare for that. And that's where I'd say, it becomes important to, break things down into sub-goals, as a strategy, right? Is that any big thing you have to do, whether it's a 20-page paper or 200-page thesis, a large exam, these are tasks. And if you think about them, the whole task, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So it's best to sort of do what they call sort of a means-end analysis, break things down into sub-goals, right? What's a more achievable chunk? I'm going to work on that this week, right? And then next week I take the next chunk and start to break things down into more meaningful, you know, and manageable sub-goals as you prepare and begin to sort of, you know, accomplish a larger task.
Yeah, and I understand that with online teaching, students can check their notes more, and potentially in an exam setting, you know, students are able to look things up or even ask a friend. Do you think these things play a role in feeling less motivated as well?
They can, yeah, definitely. It can give you, a false sense that I don't need to study, right? Oh, it's an open book exam. But remember, these are time limited. I mean, even with the generous extra half hour, you know, that's being built in Spera, in the case of the University of Auckland, you know, where a two-hour exam becomes a two-and-a-half-hour exam in the case of the exam that I'm running for my EdSite class. You know, I think that can lull students into a sense of complacency, right? And in a sense of non-urgency, right? That I don't need to really prepare or worry because of I can always refer to my notes. The problem there, of course, is that, you know, you still got, whether it's several essays or multiple sections of an exam to complete, there's no way you're going to get through it all if for every single question, right, and every single idea that's presented in an exam, you have to go and refer back to the book. So in a way, you know, you still very much need to prepare and know where things are. It really, at that stage, when it's open book, it becomes not only about, you know, preparation of remembering everything exactly as you need to because it's a closed book, but remembering where things are, right, and being very organized. So when the time comes that you are not familiar or don't know a question right away or need some help with a concept or an equation, whatever the case may be, that you then know where to go in your notes, right? So there's still a lot of work and preparation. I think obviously an open book does take some pressure off, even a great deal of pressure off, but that shouldn't minimize your preparation. I've really been a little bit surprised by the headlines. I'm wondering if other students have seen this. You know, it's been on like News Hub and stuff where, you know, cheating is up 400% under lockdown. And I want to assure students that that is not true, that is fake news. What is up 400% is students getting caught cheating, right? When we've moved online, I'm doing research now in Mexico, Canada, the U.S., where we've collected data on students' behaviors, and there has been decreases in several behaviors, right? If you look, I mean, academic misconduct is a broad thing, right? We've seen increases in only small increases in a few limited ones, right, like plagiarism, which, of course, that's why we're seeing all these increases in that the headlines are reporting here in New Zealand of this 400% increase is absurd, right? It's not increase in actual cheating. It's that we're catching students more because of they're doing it online, and it's being, you know, everything is now being run through Turnitin, and that was happening before the pandemic even started, really. But I'm worried about it because I think students are given the wrong impression by the media that, oh my God, everybody is cheating, and they're cheating more now that we're online. And that can motivate, right, your own misconduct. If you think that, look, everybody else is cheating, and if I don't, then I'm just a sucker, right, that's problematic. And that's going to lead you to basically, well, maybe, I should be cheating too.
Yeah, and also, you know, just to do with lockdown settings in general, I mean, in terms of sitting in a classroom versus sitting at home, you know, how does that play into motivation as well?
Oh, it's a big difference. You know, I teach classes in the first semester, it's about 350 students in a large lecture theater. And, you know, you might think that's sort of impersonal, right? You know, and well, it's just as well that it's online. But we're social animals. And, you know, it's a big difference for me as the lecturer in the first instance, you know, in terms of the, you know, I'm staring into a screen, you know, when we're doing these lectures by Zoom, and usually I just see a name in black and white, you know, not a face. And I feel like sometimes I'm falling into like some sort of black hole, you know, right? And almost sort of lose my place. You know, whereas when you're in the lecture theater, and I'm speaking from my perspective as a lecturer, but I think this is true for students too, you know, there's a sense of connection, right? There's all of the nonverbal, you know, cues that you get that students are engaged or not engaged. And there's so much of the body movement. We tend to think that we're these highly, you know, verbal animals, right? And we are highly verbal animals. And verbal communication is critical, right? But we also, we tend to discount or underestimate how much power is in the nonverbal, right? And being able to take social cues from, you know, really the most minor and fleeting of facial expressions, right? And looking at into students' eyes and the power of that into each other's eyes. So we're missing a lot by not being together. And again, whether that's in a class of, you know, 30 or 300, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of power in being together and sharing space. Not only consequences for, you know, motivation and engagement, right, but even for learning. So I think, you know, yeah, this, you know, teaching by Zoom certainly is a necessary thing to do at this point. It's you know, it's getting us through and keeping us moving forward, but it is suboptimal, right? And we should all, you know, do as much as we can and look forward to the day that we can be back together, whether it's in small classes or large lectures.
That was Associate Professor in the School of Learning, Development and Professional Practice at the University of Auckland, Jason Stevens, talking about student motivation during lockdown.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.